You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. We got the local, we got the state, we got the national, man. We cover down on all of it. And like the dude just said, we are solid conservative and just plain right. Well, listen, there's a weird dynamic out there right now. For instance, Governor Ivey, and I would too if I were her. She just came out recently and had a big to-do about the fact that Alabama's unemployment rate is at 2.6%, which I think might be a record low. And that sounds great, and truthfully, it is great. But when you take it into the bigger picture, the economics of the situation are not as great because a low unemployment rate like that can sometimes signal other things, like the fact that it might be low because there's fewer people trying to find jobs. That's where we are. Because as low as Alabama's unemployment rate is, we are just as bad on our labor force participation rate. Alabama now ranks, according to one study that I read in 1819 News, we rank as the sixth worst in the nation for labor force participation. All right, well, you hear me talk all the time on the show about the guys from ZLA Solutions. So ZLA Solutions is, and I always describe them as being epic good at getting jobs and people put together. So ZLA Solutions, they know their business. They are all over North Alabama and really multiple states if you get down to it. Putting people and jobs together, helping individuals find the jobs which they post on their website, but then they also help an employer. They can go in and they can retool all kinds of things, but one of their bread and butter things is finding the staffing that a workforce needs at a job site. So that being said, I thought who better to talk about this than Andrew Ford, who is one of the head guys over at ZLA Solutions, and he's right here in studio with me. Andrew Ford, how you doing?
I'm wonderful, and thanks for having me back. The intro was lovely, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I like that. I can tell you have a new guy in the shop.
We do, and so we're sitting here finding out that you and Boomer went to high school together.
Yeah, me and Boomer, we ran the streets for a little while together back in Westbrook.
That's right.
Yeah.
Played ball together.
Sure did, football and baseball.
So if you have stories about Boomer, I might need them after the show. Boomer may have stories on you. You don't want to go down that road.
No, we're all good.
Yeah,
it was fun.
We're straight.
Yeah. I love how Boomer comes in. No, we're all good. We're all good. It's all good here.
But thanks for having me back.
Absolutely.
It's like you said, you know, the labor participation rate right now is really and truly more what we look at in my line of work. You know, because not to mislead people, but the unemployment rate is really a political term. You know, that's what, you know, everyone in office spouts off and tries to say is, you know, hey, it's awesome. You know, unemployment is 2.whatever% and all that, but you hit the nail on the head. It's the people who are actually looking.
Yeah.
You know, meaning the labor participation rate, for people who don't technically understand, it's the, other than incarcerated individuals, it is the amount of people from a census minus people who are paying taxes to go to work, right? And that's anywhere from 50 to 70%, right, per state.
Right.
So that is really what you look at in regards to how many people are actually out there not working, right? So if Alabama is 67%, for instance, a labor participation rate, that means that out of every 100 people that could go to work, 67 of them are. And so we have 33 people out of every 100 choosing to not go to work. That's what that tells us.
And that, and
so,
that boggles my mind.
It does,
because,
me too.
Department of Labor Secretary Fitzgerald Washington for Alabama, he came out and said recently there's apparently, in his view, there's like two jobs for every person right now, which means it's a job seeker's market.
He's not wrong.
I mean, so you guys are seeing that at ZLA, right?
Every single customer that we have, especially in the automotive and the medical industry, it's open orders, you know, meaning, you know, traditionally in my line of work a few years ago, you know, we would have a customer that would give us, hey, we've got a new program coming on. We need 10 people on first shift, second shift, third shift, prepare for it, recruit for it, hire for it. We're going to do orientation on this date. And it's an entire structure, right? You know, we interview and we go through the whole nine. Now it is every single automotive customer that I have, we have open orientations, meaning if you see 10 people and they want to come work for us, bring them.
Yeah.
You know, if it's 50, which it won't be, oh my gosh, please do. We could actually allow our workforce to not have to work on Saturday and Sunday. You know, so it's, that is another enormous dynamic shift that people aren't talking more about is the amount of hours that are pushed on people now because of the amount of openings and the amount of sales that are still ongoing. You know, so if you still have, if you're still selling the same amount of stuff, but you're having less and less amount of people want to come to work, the amount of people that are having to do what?
Yeah.
Work more hours.
Exactly.
You know, so, oh my God, it's...
Either that or you have shortages in the market and suddenly you have supply and demand issues.
Yeah, which we are also
seeing
all over the place.
Yeah. You
know? So it's there's no discrepancies. It is all related.
All right. So let me ask you this. All right. Y'all are a veteran-owned business, you being the veteran. Yeah. Thank you for your service, by the way. You're an MP,
likewise.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Right now, the military is struggling with its own recruiting. I mean, and I've covered on the show here, they're actually having to lower the standards for recruiting. Like,
I
basically, they're not even requiring a GED anymore. You don't have to have any completion of high school. You know, you can have some criminal issues in your background and probably get by. Tattoos can be up your neck and around your face, and you might even still get in.
Yeah.
And it's all changing because the demand for people is so much higher than the availability of people. But what do you see in the civilian market? Are they having to lower their standards to get people in?
I mean, 100%. Okay,
really?
So how about this? This will blow your mind. In a state to where THC is still illegal,
yeah,
we have customers in Alabama that have removed that requirement from all drug testing.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yes. Because it is such a monster. So many people fail for it that, I mean, even though it is still illegal in the state of Alabama, very large customers have completely done away with it. And in surrounding states
do
business with. Yes, sir. That has shown me more than anything else the amount of need that they are in. They are changing corporate policy now. You know, so I mean from, oh my gosh, and background requirements. You know, we just took on a customer that's a multi-state in about 20 different states. And they are a mass food manufacturer, right? And so all their glorified shipper, they now have no background requirement because they have been sued. I think their guy who was in charge of this program that I was talking to made some mention about how there's so much legality to what they're doing and how often they're sued because of, well, a plethora of different reasons that they just did away with it.
Let me ask you this. Is that purely driven on the fact that they're having trouble getting people?
Yes.
Or is there a societal change?
I think it's both. But at the end of the day, they've got to make money, right? And
right.
They have to make production times, and they have to get shipments out. So they are going to – they were all sitting in a boardroom. There were probably 20 of them that were all talking about it. And they're like, all right, guys, we've got the entire Western corridor that's going
to
be delayed, you know, for another 8 days of getting all this food out. And when you're in food, you don't have a choice, but you have to act because what is it going to do? Go bad.
That's
you know,
true.
Right? And especially if you're in the market of preparing and delivering fresh food, you know. So our customer, for instance, you know, doesn't have a choice. It's either that or they would be scrapping tens of millions of dollars a week in inventory.
All right, but let me ask you this. Lowering of the standards, changing the background checks, the drug testing, whatever, you're still seeing fewer people in the labor force. Where did they go? Did we see mass retire? Is it on the age end of the spectrum, or is it on the young end of the spectrum?
Well, you got to think about. Let's go back to the labor force participation rate. Right, if you looked on, I think one of the models we were talking about, earlier is back in the 90s and the 2000s, it's gone down over 10%. Right, and it's because of baby boomers. You know, one. So that participation of workforce that was so high for so long.
Yeah.
Now those guys are either A, starting to retire, they've got their own businesses, whatever, and that was a very large amount of people. So the overall number is going to be lower because there's not as many people in the field, right? But when you still think about that, you have lower requirements now for vet benefits, you know, right, which is a good thing. So you do have more SSDI stuff, you know, going on to where more people are able to get on that. But then you also take into account what over the last 3 years, COVID, and all of the benefits that have gone into giving people the ability to stay at home.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah.
And it's so all of that being said, that is why that number has just continued to go down and it stays down because there are still cases. And I almost didn't even want to bring this up because it'd be like prove it and go find this person. But I still know a couple of people that are still getting COVID relief pay for somehow.
You go get them and bring them in here right now. I want to talk.
I know you say that. You know, right? So, you know, so
the president said last night the pandemic's over. That's that excuse is out.
You know, yeah. So it's interesting. You know that there's still that much discombobulation too with the government and benefits and I'll give you another example. If I didn't hear this with my own ears, I wouldn't repeat it. But I was in the Department of Labor in a different state. This was not in Alabama, but we were doing a really large hiring event. And over about a four-hour period, I was there with two of our managers. I overheard a woman in the office next to me explain how to keep your benefits over 30 times to people. I get up, I go in there during a break, and I said, hey, I think Miss Mary was her name. And I said, I got to ask, you've literally been on repeat all day. And she goes, oh, yeah, I'm hired through here just because we have such a high call volume of people to say, hey, how do I document this right to make sure I keep my benefits? Because so many people screw up having to list the job search and all that. And I just said, hold on.
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
you're talking about their unemployment benefits.
Yes.
You're not talking about their job benefits.
No. And she was like, well, sir, come in, fill out, you know, on our computer and, you know, get the document that you're going through this.
I got to show the government I'm trying. But I'm not really trying. Tell me what I got to do.
So that shows you right there in just a four-hour period. I mean, truthfully, she was on the phone the entire time. So it's a downhill. It's an uphill battle, you know. And I don't know. It's such a broad answer by every customer of ours is pay and jacking it up and trying to do as much as they can, you know, to get the now because they don't have a choice. Because every single one of their competitors has gone to that, you know, and it has... It has made it very difficult.
Well, I'll tell you what. I want to keep this conversation going. I got a few questions for you when we get back about what you're seeing about trends up, hopefully. But let's try to take a break right now. Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We're in studio with Andrew Ford from ZLA Solutions. I mean, if anybody's out there right now seeing labor force participation, it's companies like ZLA Solutions. This is what they do. It's their bread and butter, like I always say. And man, he's giving me an earful. All right, folks. Phil Williams. Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, spanning all of North Alabama. I'm talking about down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden. We are covering down on some ground, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So I'm sitting here with Andrew Ford from ZLA Solutions. We're continuing our conversation about labor force participation. Because if you're not familiar, the Federal Reserve Economic Data Report came out in July. Alabama has the sixth lowest labor participation rate in the country. What does that mean? Well, here we are at 2.6% unemployment. Sounds great. But unfortunately, we have a horrible labor force participation, which means that part of the reason we have low unemployment is there's not as many people looking for jobs. We are right now, at one point, we're at 57.7% in July. I think we're upwards more like 61%, 62% now. Anyway, it ain't good. All that to say, ZLA Solutions, where Andrew's at, we've been talking about the fact that they're putting people and jobs together on a regular basis. But daggum, you got two jobs for every one person, Andrew
Ford.
We
sure do.
Let me ask you this. So we talked about it earlier, and in fact, Boomer even said with a business that he owned in Nashville, occasionally he saw people, they'd come in, they'd go, hey, can we do this under the table so I don't have to lose my unemployment benefits? Because they want to get paid and get paid.
Yeah.
Does that happen?
It doesn't necessarily happen as much with us because our customers are obviously larger, like automotive companies and hospitals. Yeah. But with a ton of my friends' businesses and others like that, oh, my gosh, yes. You know, because it's... It's hard to say it is fraud and it is unethical,
yes.
You know, but I mean, when you're in a bad situation, you know, you can still keep that benefit going.
People are trying, huh?
They sure are, you know, and so it makes it just another thing, you know, that you got to worry about.
I mean, back at the height of paying people those extra unemployment compensation rates, I remember hearing one local business here in the Gadsden area that he said he had, I think, 15 employees. And they came to him and said, we want you to go ahead and put us out because we think we can get paid more to be at home and just shut the business down. He looked at him and said, why would I do that? Yeah. Why would I shut down my business so you could sit at home? I mean, it was one of those weird conversations that he couldn't believe was happening.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Well, so let me ask you this. What are you guys seeing in terms of, like, we talked offline briefly about one of your offices. That's one here in North Alabama, as a matter of fact. One of your offices posted for jobs, had quite a few responses.
Oh, yeah.
But then how did the turnout go?
Oh, lovely. Yeah, let's talk about some numbers for a minute. So every Monday morning, you know, we do a roundup of all of our regions and offices in regards to how many people we saw, how many actually said they were coming in, and versus how many showed and got jobs and the whole nine. So for our North Alabama, one of our busier branches, right, last week in regards to new business for us, you know, new job ads. So our business, you know, we post our jobs on different, you know, various forms like Indeed and stuff like that, right? You know,
right.
So we then take those applications of people that contact us. You know, we don't reach out. They contact us. I repeat, they contacted us,
right,
saying, I want to work for you guys on this said job.
They responded to your ad.
Yes, right. So last week, okay, we had over 100 and I think it was 150-something people out of our North Alabama office fill out all information required, right? And so then they talk to us in person, of course, or I'm sorry, over the phone, and schedule an exact time that they want to come in. We even tailor it to them. You know, hey, tell us exactly when you want to come in and talk with us. We will get you through the process today. You can be working by the end of the week. We had 38 people come in our office.
Out of 180-something that said, we'll be there on so-and-so date,
that was one of the worst ones I'd seen so far in a ratio standpoint. But we had 38 last week, and that, I mean, it sounds silly, but it makes you want to cry. I mean, you know, you sit there and it's like, you know, my goodness. I mean,
there's good work to be had.
Yes, you know, and all the amount of effort too, you know, that goes into getting all those jobs out there, contacting all those people, getting them in, you know, and being able to help our customers fill their jobs and get, you know, to where it's easier on them, you know, and to fail so much right now. It's been very difficult, you
know,
to swallow.
Well, but at the same time, I cannot imagine what it would be like. I mean, this is what you guys do. So basically outsourcing it to organizations like yours, you're saving a ton of problems and effort for the internal HR staff at any business. Because you guys are working for big-name employers.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess here's the thing. We're about to take a mandatory hard break here at the bottom of the hour. But one of the things I want to talk about before you go is, so how do we change this narrative? How do we get to the point that Alabama's unemployment is low, but our labor force participation is high? I mean, what, and so noodle that as we go through into this next break. We got about a minute here. I don't want to kick too much of that in right now because we'll. I mean, do you put cookies on the table? How do you get them in here?
I actually have in my opinion, a sound idea to get that done, and it's already being done on other state levels. And I believe the last time I was on the show, actually, I made a mention of it. But it is. I'll just give a little blurb. It is simply, instead of rewarding people to stay at home, it's rewarding people to go back.
Yeah.
And other states are doing it. Why on earth can we not? You know, so money is out there. It's possible. It just needs to get passed. It is that simple, because when you look at labor percentages, not the unemployment rate, of people who choose not to work, what else is going to make them say, yes, Andrew, I'm coming back? Money.
Interesting. All right. Well, here we go. We're back to money again.
And I hate it. But
Boomer, it's always money.
Money.
What is with your generation?
Money.
Nobody wants to work and just ride for the brand anymore? No, I get it. I do get it. All right, folks. Taking a hard break. Coming right back. This is a dynamic conversation. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, sitting in studio with Andrew Ford from ZLA Solutions. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. All right, I'm back in studio right now. Spend a few more minutes here with Andrew Ford from ZLA Solutions. All right, so let me ask you. I'm looking right now. Area Development Magazine presented Alabama with its Gold Shovel Award for Economic Development Success in 2020. I mean, we're the Detroit of the South now when it comes to auto manufacturing. We've got major facilities, even white-collar facilities like the new FBI Training Center. What's going on at Redstone Arsenal is amazing. NASA beefing up again. All these things are happening. Alabama has got an amazing amount of opportunity, but yet our labor force participation just is in the tank. So
it's pretty rough.
So you and I were talking offline, and my question to you was, what can be done to incentivize people back into the labor force? And you had some thoughts on that.
Yeah, mine are pretty broad, but there's one pretty generic or pretty specific thing that I think that we should mirror from some other states, and it is the back-to-work bonus. And it's when COVID started and all the federal funding was given and everyone was given the ability to get 800-something, if I remember right, you know, after everything was said and done from your unemployment plus the relief. So if you think about it, all right, so if we're having such an issue, all these jobs that you're talking about, the Gold Shovel Award and everyone, we got three jobs per person, but in all reality, we still have 30 out of 100 people choosing not to go to work and not even trying, right? So what on earth can we actually do to incentivize that part, that amount of the people? In my opinion, it has to go back to dollars and cents, and it is a back-to-work bonus I think would actually help, because we've got to – We have to give some sort of relief soon to all of these monster automotive suppliers and other different tiers and things here in Alabama, or we're going to quit getting them, you know, right? So, I mean, because when you think of how these things actually work, right, all of these suppliers and OEMs, they have corporate pricing, you know, that's put in play in probably another continent, you know, and it all boils down to being able to run on a certain scale, right? You know, to be able to produce this many on this amount of time at this labor rate, plus or minus whatever. And that's how they gauge all of this stuff, right? When you're, I don't know if we have an automotive customer that isn't working 6 days and most sevens. 365. Yeah, and they're called continental shifts because the plant doesn't shut down. So they literally are working people 12-hour shifts, giving off days during the week, but they're overstaffing pretty much by triple because they're giving forced off time, but they're overstaffing that much, puts that much more pressure on them. I mean, so it's our customers are really being forced right now to do things very differently than I'm sure they thought when they were building these vehicles.
So let me ask you, so from the state level, like for instance, if I heard what you said a minute ago about incentivizing, you said there are other states that are incentivizing with what you called back-to-work bonuses.
Yes,
so
sir.
if we had, which we do, we have a ton of COVID relief money that is not going back to D.C. We have to do something with it to help expand the economy and recover from the effects of the COVID shutdowns. That being said, one of the things that happened a lot was the impact of businesses by government shutdown, all right? I mean, there are some small businesses that never came back.
Yep.
And yet, the unemployment compensation fund is what got the lion's share of the original COVID dollars because we drained the unemployment compensation fund. But yet, you're suggesting that one of the things that could happen is with those dollars that haven't been spent yet is provide some measure of a get back to work bonus. If you go in, you'll get a paycheck plus a state will pay you for going back to work.
It's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's because at the end of the day, if you're doing a budget and I make $650 a week at this automotive plant, or I can get $410 a week in unemployment and different benefits, whatever, and I choose not to work, right? Yeah. Now, okay, say we do a three-month program like I believe South Carolina did. It was either 8 to 12 weeks. But during that period of time, you show that you had been out of the workforce for however period of time it was. You get back in the workforce now. So you're not only getting a paycheck each week, right? So you're already getting $600. Now you're getting that relief each week on top of that for 9 weeks, which is $700, $800. So all of a sudden now you're $1,400, $1,500 to the good each week for nine weeks. Giving you the ability to get back on your feet, create a little bit of a savings account. That was the whole point, right?
It's interesting.
And so now they're at full employment.
Part of me looks at it, and I get it. I mean, I don't argue the effectiveness of doing it. Part of me looks at that and goes, dang, but then we're rewarding the ones I mean, the ones who hung
exact
in there
words
and kept
have come out of
going.
My mouth, Phil. Exact words. But then again, it sucks. It's a necessary evil right now, because other than that, I mean, there's still holes and there's still employment gaps and there's still problems out there. You know,
I guess I would prefer to see that than to see them put it back into government some more like they've been
same.
Doing. They've been funding government with all this money so far.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's who are we to judge on what the person is and what they and why they chose not to go back? But by God, if this could help and they do go back,
yeah.
And all of a sudden 10%, even if it was 10%, Phil, what that would do for the entire, you know, labor workforce here in Alabama would be drastic.
You know, as a matter of fact, I just looked over and scanned my numbers here. It's a little bit worse than you said a minute ago. You said 30 out of every 100. It's actually 43 out of every 100
gosh.
Don't show up.
Yeah.
So it ain't good. Well, okay. So here we are, a state with buku opportunities. I mean, we are not hurting for jobs, and you guys see that. And I always, when I'm talking about y'all on the air, I'm always saying something like blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter, because all the jobs are out there right now.
We have everything from plant management at a senior level to guest services at a hospital group.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, it's truthfully, it's all types, and so all genres of work are affected. It's not just any certain one.
Is there any particular industry that's held its own better in your opinion than another? Can you think of one? I mean, I just asked off the top of your head, but
I would say a couple of our automotive that are worldwide billion-dollar companies that you know we work with, some of their really really large suppliers that they already had some hiring issues just because they're so big. They were able to put enough into play, I think, with incentives, and they were actually allowing us to give sign-on bonuses and retention bonuses and all the other things that went into it, which, in my opinion, don't want to sound bad here, is kind of sucks, because, you know, it's still trying to just say, hey, please stay at work, you know, come and do, instead of, like we talked about earlier, loyalty to a company for actually, you know, hiring you.
That's where I was going to go next. I was going to ask you. So back in the day, I remember when I first became a lawyer 20 years ago, and I was already in my 30s. I'd already been out in the world a bit. I did a late in life decision. So I'm at
like
the first
joining the Army.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there I was at my first law firm, and I was talking to the boss, and I wound up being there for 10 years. But he told me that it's hard to find a young lawyer to stay at a firm for more than 2 to 3 years. And I asked him why. He said, I don't know. He said, back in the day, you came on board, and it was like you were riding for the brand, man. Who you worked with and where you were meant as much as what you got paid. Do you think we're seeing that same level of dedication to a brand in a job these days?
Not trying to laugh, but I'll tell you this, and I think if my corporate employees for ZLA are listening to this, you know, we either, for us at least, you either work less than 6 months or you never leave, you know, and it's because we build that, you know, right? But we strive for that. We're still a small family-owned company that's gotten larger, you know, but in regards to our customer base with automotive, no. Oh my gosh, no. I mean, there is none. It's because there's never been more opportunity, and there's never been more access, instant access to information as well. And that has, in my opinion, we haven't even touched that, is the biggest detriment to the job market, is because you could get on your phone anytime you get upset and instantly pull up 100 jobs. So what on earth is that going to do to you mentally the first time you're upset? Oh, I can go get a job tomorrow. I'll quit.
Well, and we're a far more mobile society too, which means that, you know, back in the day, you might have caught the bus or hitched a ride with your buddy to work, because not everybody was as mobile as we are now. Nowadays, between the power of your smartphone and pretty much everybody having a vehicle, you'll drive 20 miles for a better job.
Oh, 100%. Easily. This is going to blow your mind. We have people driving an hour, to locations that we work, just because we pay a good wage. You know, I mean, and it's still the same style work, because, you know, we still have a lot of quality inspection business to where we get paid to go into automotive plants and inspect parts that their customer got that were bad, right? You know, so it's still the exact same person that would go work at an automotive plant in a production environment, you know, or being trained, you know, to just check simple inspection processes on a part in an automotive plant, right? But I typically pay $2 to $3 more, as you know, per customer, because one, we want to retain them, and we have to compete as well, you know. But two, we're still behind the times in regards to what it costs to actually run your life and live, and what customers are paying. You know, so there's still a big problem there as well.
So I guess in summary, I guess what I'm hearing is, yeah, Alabama's got a great unemployment rate, cool, but we have a sorry labor force participation rate. There's a ton of people that are still laying out that retired maybe early or just chose not to get back in or whatever the case may be. But we got upwards of two jobs for every one person out there, and we got to find a fix for that. We got to get them back in the market to keep all of our employer groups that drive our economy happy.
Something's got to give, Phil.
I agree, man. All right. Well, Andrew Ford, ZLA Solutions, appreciate you, man.
Thanks so much for having me. It was fun.
That was legit. That was good input. All right, Boomer, take us to the break. We'll kick him out of the studio.
Good seeing you, Boomer. And,
hey, it's so good to see you.
All right, fellas. Wow, that is just cool. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We got plenty more. Be right back.